राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी।
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी।
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी,
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी।
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी।
यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन,
यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन,
यमुना तीरवन चारी। यमुना तीरवन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
जय राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे,
राधा गोकुल नंद राधा गोकुल नंद राधे।
जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय, जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय प्रभुपाद 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 प्रभुपाद।
नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, नित्य गौर हरि बोल
हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि
गौर प्रेमानंदे जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री वामन द्वादशी महोत्सव की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। I am very happy to be with all of you at ISKCON Whitefield. When Harikshetra Prabhu invited me, I could not decline. It has been a while since I have been with all of you. I have many fond memories of my visit to your small but beautiful center in Whitefield area about 2 or 3 years ago. And I hope that you are all well and safe and in blissful Krishna consciousness. Today is the happy occasion of Vamana Dvadashi, the appearance day anniversary of Lord Vamana, one of the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Now, there is much that is talked about Lord Vamanadeva in different scriptures. Even in the original Vedas there is mention, and then in, of course, in many Puranas, Skanda Purana, Vamana Purana, Padma Purana, there are Agni Purana. So in many Puranas there is a reference to the Lord, also in Mahabharata, in Harivamsa. The most extensive description, of course, as we know, is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And since Srimad Bhagavatam is our main text, we are going to focus on that. We know that in the 10th canto, when Lord Krishna appears before Vasudeva and Devaki in Mathura, in Kamsa's jail, he informs them that he has appeared previously to them when they were Aditi and Kashyap as their son Vamana. So the Lord has appeared in innumerable incarnations And specifically, as Vamanadeva, he is both a Leela avatar and also a Manvantara avatar. And we will see more of that at the end of this talk. Now, in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about the description of Vamanadeva. Now, if you include the background chapters to it, then there are almost 10 chapters which we need to cover. So naturally, we can't discuss in detail 10 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the span of one lecture. So what I will do is I will have to briefly summarize each of the chapters, and the background chapters may be just a few sentences, and then we'll try to summarize the other remaining chapters, and then I'll conclude by speaking about which type of incarnation Lord Vamana is, because generally we don't discuss too much about that. So the chapters from the 8th canto, we have chapters 15 onwards all the way till chapter 23. So that's quite a lot of chapters. So we see that in chapter 15, Bali Maharaj, the descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, has, under the guidance of his guru Shukracharya, performed the Vishvajit ceremony, by which he has become extremely powerful. And he approaches in a very confrontational spirit the demigods. And Indra and his associates are advised to flee by their guru Brihaspati, because Brihaspati understands that the army of the Asuras led by Bali Maharaj is too powerful at this point in time. And sometimes, according to the waves of time, so one person is successful and victorious, that according to time another person becomes successful at another point. So now the time was not right for the Devas. So Brihaspati advised them to flee and hide in various places. So the demigods remained invisible. They were not found in their planets, which were taken over by Bali Maharaj and the Asuras. So seeing their condition, their mother, Aditi, who was the wife of Kashyapa Muni, became very grief-stricken. And she was very much wondering what could be done to salvage the kingdom of her sons and to restore them to their proper position. Naturally, any mother will feel very sorry when her sons are deprived of their property, and when they are defeated, and when they are humiliated, and so on. So she was very grief-stricken, and she approached her husband, Kashyap Muni. Kashyap Muni had been away for performing austerities for a long time, and when he returned and he saw that the ashram was in a neglected state, he became concerned. And also he... So he was very concerned, and he asked his wife what the matter was. His wife, Aditi Devi, then explained the circumstances. At that time, Kashyap Muni, being transcendentally situated, gave some discourse to his wife on self-realization. He spoke spiritual knowledge. When one is grief-stricken, it always pays, and it is soothing to hear some spiritual knowledge. However, sometimes, as we have seen in our own lives and also in instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if one is not mentally or emotionally ready to receive those instructions, even spiritual knowledge doesn't have much effect. We see that when young Dhruva Maharaj was about to go into the forest, determined to approach the Lord to get a kingdom greater than that of his father or even grandfather, Narad Muni appeared to give him instructions, but those instructions did not have benefit because Dhruva Maharaj was not in a state of mind to receive those instructions. In any case, then Narad Muni advised him on how he could fulfill his desire. And at that time, therefore, Dhruva followed those instructions, and he became a disciple of Narad Muni, and eventually became a pure devotee. So anyway, here also we see that Aditi was not in a frame of mind to receive the proper instructions. So then Kashyap Muni instructed her to perform a certain sacrifice called the Payuvrata, or a certain ceremony, a certain austerity, which was to be performed for 12 days. And the Payuvrata ceremony involves drinking milk. Payaha means milk in Sanskrit. So she dutifully performed that austerity. And we see that the end of that austerity, the Lord appeared before her and was very pleased. He appeared in his forearm form in all his majesty, with the chakra, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, you know, the four things that he holds in his hands, and he blessed her. And he had also been pleased with Kashyap Muni's austerities. So he assured Aditi Devi that he would appear as their son very shortly. So, and then he disappeared. So he had given his word of honor, Prabhupada says. And after he had so given his word of honor and disappeared, then Aditi Devi continued to worship or serve her husband, Kashyap Muni, and the activities went on. And then, at a certain time, when the Abhijit Nakshatra was in the ascendant, on this particular day, the Lord appeared as Vamanadev. So we have basically summarized so far chapters 15, 16 and 17 in these few minutes. Yes, and now we are on chapter 18, which is titled Lord Vamanadev, the Dwarf Incarnation, in which the appearance and the initial activities of Vamanadev are described. Now it is interesting that Kashyap Muni understood that the Lord had appeared. And why has somebody raised his hand now? Maybe later. Okay. Kashyap Muni understood that the Lord had appeared within him, and he also understood that this was the right time for conception. So when the conception happened and then the Lord appeared within Aditi, and he also appeared outside at the appropriate time. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that when the Lord appeared from Aditi's womb, he appeared completely equipped with the conch shell, the disc, the club and the lotus with four arms. In other words, he appeared in his four-armed Vishnu form with a blackish complexion and yellow garments. The dhoti of the Supreme Lord is called the Pitambara. Ambara means the dress and Pita refers to yellow. So the Lord appeared in this way, in this form, in front of Aditi and Kashyap. And everybody was very happy. When the Supreme Lord appears, it is a very auspicious time. And even if from an astrological point of view it is not auspicious, it becomes auspicious because of the Lord's appearance. Ultimately, the Lord is the supremely auspicious entity. So wherever he comes, wherever he is, it's all auspicious. So everybody in the whole universe became very, very happy. The Shukadev Goswami describes that the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of the Supreme Lord's appearance. And therefore this time was called Vijaya. And both Aditi and Kashyap were astonished to see this magnificent appearance of the Supreme Lord. And at that time, Lord Vishnu transformed himself from his four-armed form into Lord Vamana's form. Just as when the Lord appeared before Devaki and Vasudev in the jail of Kamsa in Mathura, he initially appeared in his full Vishnu form with four arms, carrying his Shankh Chakra Gada Padma with him. But then, at the request of Devaki, he transformed himself into a small child. So similarly, here also, the Lord initially appeared in the form of Lord Vishnu with four arms, blackish complexion, yellow dhoti, and soon thereafter, he transformed himself into the form of a dwarf. The word Vamana in Sanskrit indicates a dwarf. And he was a small boy. So the Lord appeared like that, in the form of a dwarf, and therefore he's called Vamana Dev. And all the demigods and all the sages were jubilant at this. And they appeared at that assembly, and the whole birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana was celebrated with great joy. And also the various demigods offered various gifts to Lord Vamana. And whether it was the sun god or Brihaspati, or the deity of the earth, the deity of the deities of the heavenly planets, his mother, Brahma, Kuvera, they all came and each of them offered certain very special gifts to this young boy, who was none other than the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the grand appearance day celebration, appearance day ceremony, and the Upanayana ceremony, the sacred thread ceremony of Lord Vamana Dev was celebrated. And when that was done, then naturally the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, so he decided to commence the task for which he had advented. Now, as you know, in the heavenly planets, when the demigods are born, they are born in a youthful body. On the earth planet, when we are born in the form of a baby, in a small child. And then we grow up to youth. And then we become older. And then we become very, very old. And then we die. So in the heavenly planets, we do not have babyhood, generally speaking, and we do not have old age. So they are born youthful, they live their whole life in a youthful condition, and then they have to die, of course. So even though the demigods are called Amara, Amara which means immortal, they're actually not Amara. But they're called Amara because from the point of view of the residents of the earth, their lifetime is very, very, very long. So anyway, Lord Vamana was able to perform or commence his activities very soon after birth. Now, when we are born on earth, we cannot commence our activities right after birth. We are quite helpless at the mercy of our parents and others who are around us. But the Supreme Lord, of course, even though when he appeared as Krishna 5,000 years ago, even though he was a child, he appeared like a child because he was imitating the ways of the world, he remained all-powerful. And therefore he was able to kill Putana, etc. when he was only a few days old. So anyway, Lord Vamana also began his activities and he went to the sacrificial ceremony site, arena, of Bali Maharaj. This was performed on the banks of the Narmada River in the heavenly planets, in the field known as Bhrigu Kaccha, where the Brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing a huge sacrificial ceremony. And Vamana Deva appeared there, and Shukadev Goswami describes his appearance that he was wearing a belt made of munja straw, an upper garment of deer skin, and a sacred threads, and in his hand he had a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot. So these are the paraphernalia of a young brahmachari of those days. So Lord Vamana Dev appeared exactly like that. So he appeared as a brahmachari, as a brahmana, and as a dwarf. So then as he approached the sacrificial ceremony, he was so transcendentally effulgent that everybody's glory there was diminished. So all the personalities present at that sacrificial ceremony were very powerful people in their own rights. The brahmanas were very austere and learned, and the others were also very powerful. Bali Maharaj himself, for example. But they felt themselves being greatly diminished in their prowess and their glory at the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva at that sacrificial arena. As soon as they saw him, they understood he was a very, very special personality. So they all stood up with great respect and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Then Bali Maharaj washed the feet of Vamanadeva and sprinkled the water upon his own head and felt that he and his predecessors had been glorified. Their life had become successful because he was a Brahmana. At that point in time, Bali Maharaj was not aware that Vamanadeva was the king, so was the Supreme Lord. So he inquired now, because Vamanadeva had come as a Brahmana, and when a Brahmana comes, he usually comes to give blessings and also to ask in charity. And it is the duty of the host to inquire about the well-being of the Brahmana guest and to offer some charity. So, following his dharma as a king, Bali Maharaj offered him charity. He said, "My dear Brahmana, my dear Brahmachari, please tell me what I can do for you. I can give you gold, I can give you diamonds, I can give you a planet, I can give you a good wife, I can give you anything that you ask for." So, Vamanadeva initially began speaking about the glories of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were the ancestors of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's father was Virochana. Virochana's father was Prahlad, the great devotee. And Prahlad's father was Hiranyaksha, was Hiranyakashipu, and his uncle was Hiranyaksha. So because Vamanadeva had appeared in the assembly of the Asuras, who were at that time on the ascendant, they were the rulers of the heavenly planets at that time, so he began to glorify Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and their extraordinarily powerful activities. So after praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, then the Supreme Lord asked for charity. And what did he ask? He asked for 3 paces of land. That's all that he asked for. Now, Bali Maharaj initially proclaimed to the Brahmana that this was not very intelligent, because when you come to a powerful ruler, a wealthy person, especially one who is like the king of almost the entire universe, then you don't ask for something as insignificant as 3 steps of land. You may ask for a planet, or you may ask for some wealth and so on. So he said, "I don't think that this young boy is very intelligent, because he doesn't know what to ask from whom." You know, when you go, if you want to build a temple and you approach a very, very wealthy person, you don't ask for a 10 rupee donation. You ask for something very, very significant. So similarly, Bali Maharaj thought that Vamanadeva was not very intelligent. So he said, "You must ask for something." But Lord Vamanadeva replied that one who is not satisfied with very little and with what he has can never ever be satisfied in life. So many good instructions come in that discussion between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva. So then the Lord agreed to, I beg your pardon, Bali Maharaj agreed to fulfill the desire, and he said, please go ahead. At that time, Shukracharya, his Kula Guru, who was the Guru of the Asuras, he appeared there and cautioned him. He said, don't do this, because this is a Supreme Lord who has come in disguise, and this is a conspiracy. He has come to take away from you your kingdom so that he can hand it back to the demigods. So Bali Maharaj said that, my dear Gurudev, I have already given my promise and I can't break my promise. Now we must remember that even though Shukracharya was the guru of Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya was not a devotee. He was a guru in the sense of a ritualistic guru. So the purpose of the guru is to encourage the disciple to move ahead in Krishna consciousness, in bhakti, in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It is not the purpose of a guru to take the disciple away from the Lord. But this is what Shukracharya was doing. So we can understand that Shukracharya was not a devotee. He was not a devotee guru, at least at this point in time. So he cautioned him. And as far as the promise is concerned, he says that, my dear Bali, please know that sometimes when one is in danger or in subduing others or in joking or when acting for the welfare of others, if one breaks a promise, then it is not considered a fault. So because this is an emergency condition and you're trying to save your property and protect yourself from the conspiracy of somebody, then it is not wrong to break your promise, and there'll be no fault. So in this way, Shukracharya tried to dissuade his disciple Bali Maharaj from fulfilling the promise. But Bali Maharaj became very contemplative when he heard this instruction of his so-called guru Shukracharya, and he was thinking, it is a duty of a householder to maintain the principles of religion, of dharma, artha, kama. And how is it that my spiritual master is instructing me to do something that is against the instructions of the Supreme Lord? Here is the Supreme Lord asking me for 3 steps of land. I have made a promise to the Supreme Lord, and my spiritual master is asking me to break this promise. As I've said earlier, and it is worthy of repetition, that Shukracharya was not a devotee guru. So if there is a non-devotee guru, that is not a real guru. And when the principles of Krishna consciousness come in conflict with the instructions of a so-called guru like Shukracharya, then naturally the principles of bhakti will be more predominant, will be more powerful, and those will have to be followed. So then he thought it proper to keep his promise, because he said telling a lie is a most sinful activity, and even Mother Earth cannot bear the burden of a liar. So it is better that I lose my empire but protect, you know, my own dharma. So therefore, what is the use of expanding my kingdom if I'm going to go against the Supreme Lord? Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the previous ages, when the kings would expand their kingdoms by conquest, they would do so for the sake of the welfare of the people at large. And if the people at large were not to be benefited, then there was no point in making such a conquest. Yudhishthir Maharaj, for example, was the king of the emperor, and Krishna wanted him to be in that position because Yudhishthir Maharaj was Dharmaraj, and under Yudhishthir Maharaj's rule, everybody would follow dharma, they would be benefited, their life would become successful. So that was why Krishna wanted Yudhishthir to conquer in all directions. So simply conquering other kingdoms for the sake of lust for power and wealth is not the right way to be a king. So Bali Maharaj very rightly understood, that even if this Brahmachari were actually Lord Vishnu, as Shukracharya has been cautioning, then what is wrong in me giving everything to him? My life would become successful because I would have sacrificed everything for the Supreme Lord, and I will get the benefit of keeping my promise to the Supreme Lord. So in this way, finally, Bali Maharaj considered everything and told Vamanadev, my dear Lord, please go ahead and take your 3 steps of land. Now, Vamanadev was just waiting for this. So he was only a dwarf Brahmana. But now he extended his first step. He expanded his form. And as he extended his form, he started becoming bigger and bigger. And with his first step, he covered the earth planet. With the second step, he covered the entire universe. He covered all the heavenly planets and the higher planets. And at this time, Bali Maharaj could see Lord Vishnu, that Vamanadev is actually Lord Vishnu, wearing a helmet, yellow garments, the mark of the Shivatsa, the Kaustubh jewel on his chest, and so on. So the Lord covered the entire surface of the world, and he covered the entire sky as well. With his hands he covered all direction, and there was no vacant place where he could now take his 3rd step. So we can imagine the astonishment of the people who had assembled at that sacrificial arena. They were all watching, awestruck, as this dwarf Brahmachari began expanding his form. And he covered not just the earth, not just the higher planets, but the entire universe. And now the time came to place his 3rd step. And the Lord addressed Bali Maharaj and said, "So, my dear king, you had offered me 3 steps of land. You should follow your dharma. You should not become a liar. You made me a promise. So, you should keep your promise." When the Lord's lotus foot touched the coverings of the universe, at that time, even the effulgence of his toenails eclipsed the glory of Brahmaloka, the residence of Brahma. And of course, we know in another description that Lord Vamanadeva's toenails at that time pierced the coverings of the universe. And at that time, the water from the Viraja, from the causal ocean, the Karana Sagar, entered through that hole into the material universe. It washed the lotus toe of Lord Vamanadev, and it became Charanamrit. So that Charanamrit is known as Ganga, the holy river. And then Ganga began to flow in the higher planets. And that's, of course, another glorious topic to be discussed on another day. So anyway, as Brahma saw this, and they started offering prayers, Brahma along with his sons and the sages like Marichi gathered together in their respective planets, and they offered prayers glorifying Lord Vamanadev. They washed the Lord's feet and they worshipped him with a variety of paraphernalia. And even though Bali Maharaj was deprived of his possessions, he was not unhappy, but the other demons were unhappy. And even though Bali Maharaj warned them not to take any aggressive steps, the demons did so. And it is described by Shukadev Goswami that all these demons were defeated by Lord Vishnu's eternal associates. And in accordance with Bali Maharaj's order, they entered the lower planets of the universe. Then, understanding Lord Vishnu's or Lord Vamana's purpose, his carrier Garuda came and he bound Bali Maharaj in ropes. So he was arrested and reduced to a helpless position. So Garuda had used the ropes of Varuna to tie Bali Maharaj. Now, Bali Maharaj was reduced to a helpless state, even though formally he was the king of the three worlds practically. This is the nature of this material world. At one time, you may be the lord of the world, the lord of the three worlds, and the next moment, you may be an arrested prisoner, deprived of all your property. So this is the nature of opulences and power and prestige and glory within this world. So one should not be attached to these things. One should know the very ephemeral and the transient nature of this world. And therefore this material world is called, everything is called kshanabhangur in Sanskrit. Kshana means at any time, at any moment. And bhangur means that it can be destroyed. So everything that we have can be destroyed in one moment. And as we see this illustrated in the life of Bali Maharaj. So when Bali Maharaj was now confronted with the situation where he had to fulfill his promise, what could he do? So Vishnu at that time ascertained that the place for him to live in would be Sutala Loka. Sutala Loka is actually one of the lower planetary systems. As you know, the Earth is a middle planetary system. There are planetary systems above the Earth. Earth is called Bhuloka. Then there is Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, like that. And below also there are planetary systems, Sutala, Atala, Vitala, and so on, all the way up to Patala Loka. Now these are called the subterranean heavenly planets. Subterranean because they are below the Earth. And one may be surprised that they are called heavenly planets. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that these planets are full of opulence. In fact, in some degrees even more than the higher heavenly planets. So they are called the subterranean heavenly planets. So the Supreme Lord was pleased by the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. He placed him on the planet Sutala and offered benedictions upon him. And he actually agreed to become the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was very pleased to receive this punishment from the Lord. This is the nature of a devotee. Bali Maharaj actually surrendered his life. He said, "My dear Lord, since there is no place left in the universe for you to place your third lotus foot, please place it upon my head. I surrender my life and my everything to you." In the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpiluntua pade nanda kishor." As Bali Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays to Krishna, "My dear Lord, manasa my mind, deha my body, geha my family, and arpiluntua pade, and whatever is mine I offer to you." So Bali Maharaj was in this mood of surrender. He surrendered his everything. And in the nine processes of devotional service as given by Prahlad Maharaj, the ninth is Atma Nivedan or self-surrender. And Bali Maharaj is the exemplar of that, the perfect example of complete, total self-surrender. And that surrender was done by Bali Maharaj with total positivity, not reluctantly. With great happiness and jubilation, Bali Maharaj surrendered his everything and offered his head as the place where the Lord could keep the third step. So he also was rewarded not just with the third with the Lord's mercy, but he actually got the Sutala Loka. And the Lord agreed to become his doorman. Just imagine the fortune of Bali Maharaj. The Lord actually became the watchman or the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. Now, Prahlad Maharaj also appeared on the spot. He was present. And finally, his daughter Vindhyavali and Prahlad and others prayed for the release of Bali Maharaj. Then the Lord described how a non-devotee's possession of wealth is a danger, whereas the wealth possessed by a devotee is actually a benediction from the Lord. This is a very important philosophical point, because a non-devotee uses wealth only for sense gratification and very often for purposes inimical to the Supreme Lord, and therefore they make that wealthy person suffer the results of that bad karma. And that wealthy person will have to repeatedly take birth in this material world and suffer. Whereas a devotee will use wealth only for Krishna's service, and that wealth will become the means for deliverance. So there is a world of a difference between the wealth in the hands of a non-devotee and the wealth in the hands of a great devotee like Bali Maharaj. So, following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, who even though born in an Asura family became a great devotee, so did Bali Maharaj. And at this time, Prahlad Maharaj, being aware of Bali's release from arrest, then began to describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prahlad said that the Lord is kind not only to the devotees but also to the demons. And he described the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. And he also entered the Sutala Loka along with his grandson Bali Maharaj. At that time, the Supreme Lord asked Shukracharya to mention the faults in the sacrificial ceremony of Bali Maharaj. And at that time, Shukracharya also came and surrendered to the Supreme Lord and became free from his fruitive actions. And he chanted the holy names of the Supreme Lord. In this way, Shukracharya also got delivered. And seeing all this, Indra and the demigods then finally entered into the heavenly planets and regained their kingdoms. So in this way we see how Lord Vamanadev came to protect Indra and the demigods. So there are, as we know, the Supreme Lord has many, many names, and from this pastime there are some names that the Supreme Lord has got. The name Vamana I have already mentioned earlier, which means dwarf. Vamana Dev means the Lord who appeared in the form of a dwarf. He is also called Trivikrama, because with three steps he performed the heroic activity of capturing the entire universe and subduing the demoniac and subduing Bali Maharaj, who was the king of the demons. He is also called Urukrama, referring to him who took a krama or a step which was Uru, or very great, most likely referring to the second step that he took by which he covered the entire universe. So that is another name of Lord Vamana, Urukrama. He is also called Upendra, Upa meaning smaller or younger. So he appeared as a younger brother of Indra, because Indra was also this child of Aditi and Kashyap. So the 12 sons of Aditi, including Upendra or Vamana, are called the Adityas, as opposed to the sons of her sister Diti, who was also the wife of Kashyapa, who were demoniac and who were called Daityas. Through another wife of his, Kashyapa, who was Danu, there were the Danavas, who were also demoniac in nature. So in any case, these are some of the names. He is also called Bali Bandhana or Bali Bandhana Krit, one who bound Bali, or one who defeated Bali Maharaj. Now, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the list of Leela avatars, Vamana's name appears in the as number 15. which means in the earlier section, in the first canto, third chapter, when the various incarnations of the Lord are being described. So we can understand Lord Vamana is a Leela avatar. But there is something that perhaps devotees may not be so familiar with, which is that Lord Vamana is also a Manvantara avatar. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are six varieties of avatars. Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Purusha avatars, yes, so on. So the Manvantara avatar is also one type. The meaning of a Manvantara avatar is that he is the form of the Lord who appears in the duration or the lifetime of a particular Manu and gives protection to Indra and the demigods for the duration of that lifetime of Manu. The lifetime of Manu is called a Manvantara. Manu and Antara. So the Antara or the difference between two Manus. So that is the lifetime of a Manu and called a Manvantara. In every day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus or 14 Manvantaras. So we are currently in the seventh Manvantara, the Manvantara of Vaivasvata Manu. Vaivasvata is the son of Vivasvan. His name is Shraddha Deva. So we are in the 28th Chaturyuga of the seventh Manvantara of this day of Brahma. So some of the avatars of the Lord, mostly generally they appear once in one day of Brahma. But sometimes they appear twice. For example, the Matsya avatar or the Varaha avatar, you know, they all appear twice. Even Kurma, Dhanvantara, Mohini, they also appear twice. But otherwise, generally, they appear once in a day of Brahma. This day of Brahma in which we are living right now is called the Brahma Kalpa. The day of Brahma is called a Kalpa. It's called the Brahma Kalpa or also the Shveta Varaha Kalpa. And in this Manvantara in which we are now, this day of Brahma, I beg your pardon, Vamanadeva is the Manvantara avatar. Because he comes to protect Indra and the demigods from the demons, and it is for the duration of this particular Manvantara. So in the first Manvantara, the Manvantara avatar was Yajna. In the Manvantara previous to ours, which is the Chakshusha Manvantara, we have Ajita, who was the Manvantara avatar, who then also appeared in the form of Kurma, and when the churning of the milk ocean, he was present. So the Manvantara avatar for our Manvantara, for the seventh Manvantara, is Lord Vamanadev. And he appeared, as we have just briefly described, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But interestingly, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Lord Vamana also appeared twice so far in this day of Brahma, totally three times. The first time he appeared was in the Manvantara of Svayambhuva, which is the first Manvantara of this day of Brahma. And at that time he explains from the Padma Purana that there was the king of the demons called Vaskali. And King Vaskali had also taken over Indra's abode. Of course, in every Manvantara, the personalities who become Indra and the demigods also change. Indra and Surya, Chandra, Varuna, these are posts which are given or awarded to suitably qualified living entities. So the personalities change every Manvantara. So in the first Manvantara, there was somebody who was Indra, not the current Indra. So Vaskali, the king of the demons, conquered the devatas and occupied the Svargaloka. So to retrieve the kingdom of the heavenly planets for Indra from Vaskali, the Lord appeared as Vamanadeva. He drove away Vaskali and then he restored the kingdom back to Indra. In that case also he took three steps. He appeared as a dwarf, he took three steps, covered the entire universe and took away everything. In the Padma Purana it is said that Lord Vamanadeva was requested by Vaskali to kill him so that he could be liberated. So Vaskali understood. So Vaskali also became a devotee and said, "My dear Lord, please kill me so that I can become liberated." Now, this was the first time in this Manmantara, in this day of Brahma rather, that Vamanadeva appeared. The second time that he appeared was in the same Manmantara as in which we are now, which is the Vaivasvata Manmantara, and this is described according to Rupa Goswami in the Vamana Purana. At that time, there was a personality called Dhundhu, who was a Danava. He was a son of Kashyapa Muni and Danu, another wife of Kashyapa, as I mentioned very briefly. And he had got tremendous power because of some austerities he had performed, and he received some benedictions from Brahma, as a result of which he conquered Swargaloka. And Shukracharya at that time encouraged him to even go further higher and conquer even Brahmaloka. And when this happened, then the Lord appeared as Vamanadeva and he took away everything that Dhundhu had conquered and he restored the heavenly kingdom back to Indra. So this was the second time that Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this day of Brahma, but the second appearance was in the same Manmantara. The second appearance in the same Manmantara, which is the third appearance in the day of Brahma, happened as described here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was when Indra was saved once again by Lord Vamanadeva. He was born to Aditi and Kashyap Muni. So in this way we see Lord Vamanadeva has appeared three times in this day of Brahma, twice in this particular Manmantara, the seventh Manmantara. It is a little unusual because generally, as I said, the Lord appears once and sometimes he appears twice. But in Vamanadeva's case, according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he appears three times. So Lord Vamanadeva ki jai, Vamanadvadashi Mahotsava ki jai. We have fasted for Lord Vamanadeva yesterday on Ekadashi. That is how it is according to our Vaishnava calendar. Today is also the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. So we will also just say, at least declare our the glorification of Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad ki jai. Gaura Premanande. Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.